Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading this morning and just reflect upon the words that Jesus shares in the parable of the rich fool. And in the land of plenty and in this nation in which we live, what important words for us to hear, because it's so easy to get caught up in stuff, in things, in the wealth that the world has to offer. Well, I'd like to ask you this morning to begin with, because the theme that I hold before you is wealth beyond measure. If somebody approached you and just asked you the question, how would you define wealth beyond measure? What kind of an answer would you provide to them? And I even thought it'd be cool if everybody just wrote theirs down this morning. But you're thinking it in your mind. What is wealth beyond measure? You know, a few years ago, Lindy and I had the blessing of being able to go to the island of Kauai in Hawaii. And that's a beautiful picture of a sunset on Hanalei Bay. And you could almost be sitting on a balcony of a hotel there looking out over the bay. And it's the Princeville Hotel. It's a very expensive hotel. We didn't stay there, but movie stars stay there. If you go to that hotel, you're probably going to run into celebrity of some kind there, because that's where the really wealthy people gather. Well, it was our anniversary, and so Lindy and I decided, well, it'd be kind of fun just to go into that place and see what it's like. And they had this patio lounge up on the second or third floor of their facility, and this was kind of the view off of the balcony. And we thought, well, that'd be kind of a really cool anniversary event just to share a drink together, watch the sunset. And so we're sitting there on the balcony, it's shoulder to shoulder people. Everybody wants to be there, of course, to see that. And anyway, I don't know if the people had money or not, but you would think they were all multimillionaires by the discussion going on. And oh, they were trying to outboast each other. And I remember some of the conversation. One of the guys said, oh, that view's nothing to compared to the patio of my home on the West Coast in California by Carmel. I mean, that's almost ugly to what I see off of my balcony. And I thought, yeah, right. And I mean, it was just this arrogant trying to outdo each other of I'm a little better and wealthier than you are. And if I could go back, I always think of these things later, but I could have said, you know, I'm from Western Nebraska. You ought to see the view I have. Steers with manure up to their bellies and oh, the smell, it's incredible. Wonder what kind of looks I would have got. But Lindy and I, you know, we just wanted to enjoy that, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. I had never experienced something quite like that. Wealth beyond measure. Another time when Lindy was in the travel business, we could really get inexpensive cruise line tickets. And so we went on a cruise, and it was a fairly high-end cruise ship. They want agents and people selling cruises to experience it. And anyway, we're on that, and every morning I love to get up really early, about sunrise, and just go out and walk on the deck. Hardly anybody's out there, and just the smell of the ocean air and quiet. And every morning I would meet this gentleman, and he just had a demeanor about him that he had lots of money. And so I thought the conversation may come up at some point. And so we're out there, and I'm looking out over the beauty of the ocean, and he walks up, stands beside me, and we visit a little bit, and he looks at me, and he says, you know what? I said, what? He says, I'm a multi-millionaire. There's the discussion again. Wealth beyond measure. Well, you know, the reality is that no matter how much we have in this world, I loved Angela's illustration this morning, by the way, But no matter how much wealth we have, material wealth on this earth, real wealth cannot be realized apart from Christ. If we do not have Jesus in our lives, doesn't matter how much visual, physical things we have, we remain in poverty. And so the parable of the rich fool, it's interesting how this comes up. Jesus is talking about deep theological things to the crowd, and then this guy yells out about his concern of not getting all of his inheritance, which leads Jesus into this discussion of the parable of the rich fool. And he introduces it with these words in Luke 12:15. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, be honest with yourself, as I try to be with myself. As we look at, this is God's word. This is Jesus who spoke these words and speaks them through his living word to us today. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What do you think about that? Can you honestly agree with that? Or is there kind of a little snicker undertone, yeah, right, Jesus? Especially when we drive around this part of the country, right? I mean, the gargantuan homes, oh my gosh, there's whole neighborhoods of them, and they just continue to build and build and build. If we went through all the neighborhoods, knocked on doors, and said this statement to them, what kind of responses might we get? Or dare I say, what is your response? Or what is mine? One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I mean, it seems like in our culture, it's all about having more, right? And success, a sign of success is having the nicer car, the bigger house, right? I mean, that's kind of the mentality of the culture in which you and I live. And it certainly was the mentality of the individual Jesus portrays in this parable. And I want us to look at that in verses 17 through 19. And as I read this, and as you look at that, I want you to notice how many times I is in this statement as Jesus tells it. And so this rich man thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Wow. I, right? In other words, it's all about me. It's what I can gain for myself at the expense of everyone else, and it's mine. And I'm going to enjoy it because it's mine. Well, is this parable my story? And I want each of us this morning to be serious, to ask ourselves that question. Because the Lord knows what's in our heart. And you know, by the way, this has nothing to do with how much or how little wealth a person has. You know, people can be extremely wealthy and you would never know it. And as I sat on that balcony of the Princeville Hotel, I was kind of snickering to myself, yeah, I bet a lot of these people have nothing. They just want everybody to think they have it all. And I think more often than not, that's the case. I've known many extremely wealthy people in physical, material ways. I wouldn't know they had a dime if I didn't know them personally, because they don't flaunt it and they use it to God's glory. But oftentimes it's those that want it and think that their life is going to be so much better and they really will be wealthy are the ones that are running after it and seeking it the most. Yeah, that view compares nothing to my place. Yeah, right. But it has everything, doesn't it, to do with our attitude. And God always looks at the attitude, the motivation. He always looks in the heart. And I just have a few passages that I think, well, I know that God clearly reveals this issue to us. And so we go to 1 Timothy 6, and these are listed in your bulletin, by the way, if you want to look these up later. Look at that, for the love of money. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't say money is a root of all kinds of evil. No, money is a great tool. In the Old Testament, we know of many people, God's people, that were extremely wealthy with money, and yet they were using it as God directed them to use it. Not always. They weren't perfect. They sinned with their wealth as well. But it's the issue is not having money, but it's our approach to having money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. They stuck their hand in the jar, they want it all, and they're not going to let go, and they're caught. Right, Angela? I love that illustration. I'm not going to let go. I'd rather keep my wealth and let go of God and all his blessings. Colossians 3:2, our epistle reading today, where God, through the Apostle Paul, directs us to what? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? Because we live in this physical world, and in this area that you and I live, we see extreme wealth in homes and cars and just the availability of so many things. It's so easy to get caught up in that world. But the Lord reminds us to set our minds on things that are above, to see through all of that and to keep our focus where it needs to be, on God. In Colossians 3:5, here it is again. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And in that list, covetousness is there. And then notice, which is idolatry. And so again, is our wealth, what is our true wealth? Is it God? Or is it the things that are available to us in the world? In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says it a different way. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And just get into conversation with anybody, and you will find out in a short while where that person's treasures really are as they share them. Could be a variety of things. But generally, people share what they are most passionate about. And what they're most passionate about is the treasures that are in their heart. And so, a good time for contemplation as we look at these passages and really seriously kind of evaluate our own lives. Where are we at? Where am I at? And then we hear Jesus say those words, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? And one to really set the standard as we go forth in life. In Ecclesiastes this morning, wow, what a passage in chapter 1. There is nothing better, right, as we hear these words. And in verses 24 and 25, there's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. Isn't that cool? There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. It's really a life of contentment. God is saying, if we can be content with what we have and where we are, knowing that God doesn't change, knowing we are always living in his blessings, you can't have a better life than that on earth. Doesn't matter how much or how little physical wealth you may possess. And then the Lord goes on to say, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? And so it brings us back to that question about our wealth. Yeah, what What is immeasurable wealth to you? Well, it can only be found in Christ, right? As God clearly has revealed to us, apart from Christ, we may think we have everything, but we have nothing, because the everything we think we have is only going to last for a moment compared to eternity. Whether we're in glory in heaven or whether we are in God's place of condemnation for eternity. And so by God's grace, by His intervention, we are blessed to be wealthy. We're all wealthy in this room. We are rich toward God by His blessings upon us, and that made possible through redemption, right? That the Lord purchased you and me by His own free will, by His commitment of love to the world, and Jesus died upon that cross and paid the horrendous price. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're reminded of the contrast of the world's wealth with the wealth that Christ provides. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Through Him you believe in God. So we have been redeemed, and when you think about it, what would you be willing to pay for redemption? How much do you think, if you had the money, how much would you be willing to pay for redemption? Well, it doesn't matter, because even if we had the entire wealth of the world in our personal possession, it wouldn't be enough. Only Jesus could accomplish what Jesus has accomplished. As He covered our sin, the punishment for it at the cross, and as He died, and as He rose again, He offers this redemption. He offers His forgiveness. He offers security. He offers the blessings of peace and joy and hope. And what kind of value can we place on those? Only through Christ. And it's through Him, by the way, that we are blessed to believe in the first place, right? Yeah. And so, what is the value of just one soul? Ever think about that? As I look in this room before me, I am looking at wealth truly beyond measure. Because what does God say? What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 16? What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world? What a statement. To gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul. What is Jesus saying there? Every one of us in this room, in God's view, is worth more than all the wealth of the world. Each one of us individually. Multimillionaires, nothing, right? Wow. We are extremely, extremely beyond measure of what we can even imagine wealthy in God's eyes by His grace. And that's an important thing for us to be reminded of. This is something you and I didn't work for. We couldn't work for it. There's nothing you and I could bring to the table to contribute to it. But this is all God handing His precious gift of life and the security of everlasting life in our lap and saying, here, I want you to have this. And what are we called to do then? Well, we're called to live then a life that we set our hearts on things above. A life of thanksgiving and praise to God for the wealth that He has already bestowed upon us. And then we see the material things we have, and we recognize that they too are merely a gift God has given to us, and He's given them to us to use them in His kingdom. And it's a total transition in our lives, to be honored to be his servants. And so instead of having this wonderful crop and an abundance of money that comes in or grain, and instead of building bigger barns and the I, we go to James 4:15, and a person has the same mentality. They're going to go to another town. They're going to do a business. That's kind of the context of these words. And then God reminds this individual, here's how you ought to qualify what you're doing. If it is the Lord's will. If it is the Lord's will. Fine, you got this great harvest. We're going to build more barns. No, first of all, I'm going to pray about that. If it's the Lord's will, then I'll do that. Because maybe he's going to want to use that wealth that has been accumulated for his purposes later. But instead of I, what a contrast. If it is God's will. Think about the implications of that on the ministry here at Trinity. Just in terms of the financial wealth, really, we have among us. And God's proven that over and over again as he has continued to provide for this ministry. And it's been downright miraculous. But wouldn't it be cool if just in a matter of a few years, we paid off the debt of the school, that would be debt-free? God can do those kinds of things. And he does it through you and me, his precious people. But it's all about where our focus lies. And we are blessed to have wealth beyond measure through Christ. And we are blessed to live in his security. Did you hear it in Psalm 100, verse 3, as we spoke this psalm together? Know that the Lord, he is God. And there's where it starts. Knowing God is the owner of all things. We own nothing. The Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We would have nothing, not even our own lives, apart from God giving us life. And what a celebration. We are his. We are his people. Wow, what dollar amount can you put on that statement? To be God's child, whom he has called by name, and the Almighty God declaring to you, you are my precious child, and the sheep of his pasture, you are my precious little lamb. Remember the picture last week on the screen at the close of the message of that little lamb and Jesus just hugging it close to his heart. That's our life. What price can you put on that? Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that as we continue our journey, God brings us back to our senses, if you will, because in the flaunting of the wealth we even see in our area, it's so easy to get caught up in that game, that we focus on the things we cannot see, that we look to heaven, that we look to God, and I praise God we can be here together and worshiping him and hearing his word. As God continues to prepare us for the work of ministry on this earth, and that in preparation for that day when he will receive us home in glory. And you think about whatever you imagine, that beautiful sunset picture, Hanalei Bay, whatever beauty you can see and wealth in your own heart and mind, how about Revelation 21? Here's where we're going. As God's people, whether we're in a third world country and we don't even know where the next meal's coming from as a Christian, or whether we're a multimillionaire in this country as a Christian or anywhere in between, here's what God says heaven is. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. What value can you place on that? No more death. Wouldn't you love to wake up and there's no more death, it's unknown? Wow. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost. from the spring of the water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit all this. And I will be their God and they will be my children. That's the wealth, right? That's our future. Can't be purchased only by Jesus' blood. And it has been done. And we have been blessed to be given this incredible gift. So what would be your definition of wealth beyond measure? Back to that cruise ship. The guy that I thought, that I love God because he sees in the heart. So I just read this guy like he was arrogant and flaunting his wealth before me. Do you know that I'm a multimillionaire? And I looked at him kind of shocked and I said, well, I guess I didn't know that. And he says, yep, I've got my wife and I have my three kids. And you know what? Each one of them is worth much more to me than $1 million. And that makes me a multimillionaire. I thought, yes. What a contrast to the patio at the Princeville Hotel. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us wealth beyond measure that no one can take away and that is fully realized in eternity and glory in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord.